The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave to me, I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you." The Gospel of the Lord. For the next 3 days, you are going to hear in the Gospel, as the daily Gospel reading, the longest prayer Jesus ever prays in all of the Scriptures. It's the Last Supper, and it's his prayer to the Father. Longest prayer Jesus ever prays in all the Scriptures. You just heard the first part today. You heard the second part tomorrow, and if you come to Mass again on Thursday, you'll hear the third part of the prayer. Now, this is known as the high priestly prayer. Let me explain why. In Judaism, the holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Forgiveness. And back in Jesus' time, this is how they celebrated Yom Kippur. The high priest of Judaism would take a goat and symbolically transfer the sins of the people onto that goat, and the goat would be sacrificed in symbolic forgiveness of sins. But before they did that, the high priest would offer a prayer to the Father on behalf of all the people. Well, now, Jesus, the real Lamb of God, who will really forgive the sins of all the people, by offering himself as the perfect sacrifice once for all for the forgiveness of sins. In the real temple, which is the temple of his body on the cross, before he does that, he offers this prayer to the Father for all the people. It's why it's known as the high priestly prayer. And if you want to understand what Jesus says here today and tomorrow, start by understanding this. Do you remember the wedding feast of Cana? Everybody knows that story, where Jesus changed water into wine. And it all started when they ran out of wine. Blessed Mother came up to Jesus and she said, "They have no more wine." And how did Jesus answer her? Do you remember what he said? He said, "My hour has not yet come." And by that he meant that if he worked this miracle, and both of them knew they could, that he could, if he worked this miracle, he would begin to show who he really is. And you know where that's going to lead? It's going to lead to the cross. And it's as if Jesus said to Mary, "Do you really want me to start that now? Showing these people who I really am?" But at her bidding, he made an abundance of the finest wine and poured it out for the well-being of all. Well, now, Jesus is going to offer the wine which is the blood of his own covenant, the finest wine of all, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And if you want to understand what he did there on the cross, to understand it as a wedding is the perfect metaphor. If you want to understand Calvary, think of a marriage covenant. What's a covenant? Well, we contrast a covenant with a contract. And a contract is when you take things and stuff and you say to another person, this is mine and that is yours. It's an exchange of things. If you give me that car, I'll give you this money from my bank account. Contract. This is mine and that is yours. That's not a covenant. A covenant is not an exchange of things. It's an exchange of persons. A covenant does not say, this is mine and that is yours. A covenant says, you are mine and I am yours. And in a wedding, that's exactly what happens. The bride and the groom say to one another, I am yours and you are mine. And the two become one. Well, that's what happened on Calvary. It was the definitive act by which Jesus made himself one with his people, closing the chasm that had been opened by sin, truly making us one with the oneness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was the perfect covenant expressed in Christ's own blood. And in that covenant, Jesus made us truly one with him. Now, is there a way we can enter into that covenant? Is there a way we can enter into that oneness? Yes. Starts with baptism. Deepens with confirmation. Strengthened by every good Eucharist. But here's the question I want to ask you today. Is that all? Is it enough just to get baptized, get your confirmation, get your communion? Are you suddenly one at the deepest level with Christ because of that? And you know the answer is no. It's an invitation to something more. We have to live it. And similarly, think about a marriage. The man and woman, they exchange vows, they exchange marital rights. They're husband and wife. They're one. But is that all? Well, yes, sort of. But if you want it to be everything that it's meant to be, then you need to get out there and live it every single day, right? Make that union as deep as possible. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in the scriptures today. He becomes one with his people by carrying the cross. And we become one with him by carrying the cross in faith as well. Give me the glory, Jesus says to the Father, the glory that we had in the beginning. Father, glorify your Son. The hour has now come. And he says this before he's about to go die. What kind of glory is that? What kind of glory is that? You look up at the crucifix and you see Jesus dying at the hands of his worst enemies, bleeding and humiliating, and you think, is that glory? Well, yeah, here's why. Because the word glory in Greek is doxazo, and literally that means to make known. Have you ever heard anybody being doxed? You ever heard that phrase? Sometimes political enemies will dox their political enemies. And if you're doxed, that means that they publish your home address and maybe your license plate number, and suddenly all your worst enemies show up picketing and chanting at your doorstep, and you lose your basic peace of mind. You've been doxed. The Greek word is doxazo, and it means to make known. Do you want to know who Jesus really is? Do you want to know why he said, my hour has not yet come, and now why he says, my hour has come? It's because everything that Jesus has ever done or said, every miracle he's ever worked, every healing he's ever done, every step he's ever taken, every breath he's ever taken, every word he's ever preached, has led to this moment. This is the perfect revelation of who God is. If you want to know who Jesus is, I've always said this, look at a crucifix. The groom giving his life for the salvation of the bride, the manliest man there's ever been. And if you want to know who you are meant to be, look at a crucifix. Jesus became one with the church by embracing the cross. We become one with him by embracing the cross. You're made in his image. And that is why we too deepen our oneness with him by faithfully embracing hardships God allows into our life that we don't understand, tragedies, deaths, imperfections in the world, days that are too hot, days that are too cold, bad hair days, All of it, carrying burdens freely for the well-being of somebody else, all carried in faith, is how we perfect our union with Him. That's how we live it. When you look at the lives of the saints, you'll hear them praising the cross and embracing the cross. You hear about St. John of the cross and St. Paul of the cross and St. Teresa of the cross. And you ask, are they masochists? Why such fixation on the cross? They're not masochists. They just understand that that's the place where the covenant is lived. That's the place where union with Christ is lived. And in this world, this side of death, there's no place they'd rather be. Jesus' true identity was shown on the cross, and we are made in His image. When we embrace the cross, we become everything we're made to be and deepen our oneness with Him. Let's pray it in here so that we can live it out there. Amen.